This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we are slated to hear from the mayor of New Orleans and former Lieutenant Governor Mitch Landrieu. The election is a week from today, and Mitch won't be on the ballot, but his sister Mary is. Mary Landrieu seeking a fourth term, and the votes will be tallied a week from tonight. Bill Cassidy and Rob Manus are the principal challengers. We'll talk about the election and more with Mayor Mitch Landrieu. Also, the current Lieutenant Governor, Jay Darden, is scheduled to talk with us about the book festival coming to the Capitol this weekend. It's an event that went away and came back with Jay Darden as Lieutenant Governor. And tonight, the Dance Theater of Harlem stops in Baton Rouge. We will talk with the director, Levine Nadeau. Now the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number outside the area. It's 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Or you may tweet us at Jim Inkster Show. Our guest is the Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana, the Honorable John J. Darden. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Jim.
And Jay Darden is on the road promoting the state of Louisiana, and this weekend, one of your babies is coming to town, the annual book festival. I'm sure you're excited about the literary luminaries who'll be converging at the Capitol.
Well, there are lots of them, too, and it's we are excited about it. The book festival is a great event for the state, and particularly for Baton Rouge, and, you know, it's never been rained upon, and it looks like this week we're going to continue the streak. It's always seems to be great weather for the book fest, and the forecast looks pretty good. So we're real optimistic about it, and we got some great folks coming. I know you've seen the lineup, but we've got Rick Bragg, who will be here promoting his new book, which is just being released this week, about Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, we had him on the show.
Good, good. I'm sorry I missed
that. Yeah, very, very good book.
It'll be a real highlight for me. I haven't read it, but I'm looking forward to buying it and reading it.
Mm-hmm. And you've got some others.
Well, we got Cokie Roberts will be coming back. She has a new children's book about women during the American Revolution. James Carville and Mary Madeline, who have been here before, have a relatively new book out, and they'll be talking about their book. And, you know, we've got 200 authors, and a lot of the local authors who have published books this year will be with us, and folks from outside Louisiana as well. It's really a great literary event. It's one of the most popular book festivals around for authors. And there'll be food and music, as always, at the festival in Louisiana.
And it went away and came back. You led the fight to make it happen again.
It needed to come back. It had a one-year hiatus because of budget issues, but I wanted to bring it back, and we did bring it back, and we provide some assistance from other areas in our office, and the library was the beneficiary of a nice bequest from Sally Farrell, who was a former librarian, and those funds are used to help offset some of the costs. The authors, of course, are not compensated to come here, and they're selling their books. But nonetheless, you have expenses related to a festival. But it's well worth it. This is really, I think, an important offering that our department and the state library makes annually. People I know in Baton Rouge and outside of the city look forward to it, and we always have a great crowd, and we anticipate that'll be the case again on November 1st.
And I can tell you're on the road today.
Yeah, we're headed to Monroe. We've had a series of town hall meetings about the tourism industry and about economic development and creating jobs.
All right. Well, this is an election week. You used to be the Secretary of State. I'm sure at this time of the year you think about what may happen a week from today.
Well, you can't help but think about it. And if you're watching television, you certainly can't help but be bombarded with the ads that are on. But I talked to Tom last week, as a matter of fact, and they're obviously getting ready and preparing. And I think they're well prepared for the election. Looks like the turnout is good, not quite as good as it was a couple of years ago, but it seems to be pretty brisk.
What do you think of the Senate race?
Jimmy, there.
Yeah, what about the Senate race? You're a pretty good
I'm sorry, say it again.
You're a good analyst. What about the U.S. Senate race with Mary Landrieu and Bill Cassidy and Rob Manus and others? Okay, I think maybe we've lost the lieutenant governor, perhaps conveniently for him. I don't think he wanted to talk a whole lot about politics, but he knows the political scene pretty well. Jay Darden has been around for a very long time. He was student body president back in the 1970s when Edwin Washington Edwards was in his second term as Louisiana governor. And, of course, Edwin Edwards is on the ballot a week from today in the congressional race and is expected to make a runoff in the 6th District race against one of the Republicans. And there are some Republicans, as we know, who have launched vigorous campaigns, including Garrett Graves, who's been the best financed of the bunch and perhaps is the choice of the governor in this race. And then there's Dan Clater, who lost his mother last week, and the services were yesterday. The state senator, who's lived his life here in Baton Rouge, with the exception of some time in New Orleans as a prosecutor. And Paul Dietzel, the grandson of the coach who led LSU to the promised land in 1958, and Lenar Whitney, the state representative from the Houma-Thibodeau area, who is perhaps formidable because of geography and gender, and she will be a factor in this race. Jay Darden, we were talking about the Senate race. You're an astute analyst of Louisiana politics. Are you surprised turnout isn't more brisk, considering the fact that we have been bombarded with reminders that there is an election a week from today?
I think it's pretty good compared to what we saw in previous elections, so I'm really not surprised with the turnout, but I think it'll be a pretty good turnout, relatively speaking, on Election Day. The early voting has proven to be very, very popular, and I think I saw in the paper today that more Democrats than Republicans have been early voting, which did surprise me. I think it's going to be a good turnout. I'm in the rolling hills of Feliciana, so I'm sorry I lost you. No, I may lose you again.
Well, that's okay. You're coming through loud and clear now. What about the 6th District race?
I think that's a tough one to call right now. I think all the pundits seem to think that Governor Edwards will be in the runoff, and I think that's probably accurate given the demographics of the district and the fact that he's the lone Democrat. I think who will be the contender is up in the air. I think I know all the folks in the race just about, and like all of them, and I think it's going to be an interesting call to see geographically who gets out and votes. I think the Republican that is standing in the second primary is going to go to Congress, and so you could have a situation where getting a relatively small percentage of the vote in the primary results in you becoming the congressman or congresswoman, because I think somebody in the teens could very well make cut and then go on and win in December. But I think they will win in December.
Have you decided to endorse in either race?
No, I'm not going to endorse. I know, as I say, I know all the folks pretty well, and I'm not going to get involved in that race.
Even in the runoff?
Well, in the runoff, I probably will, yes. Not this one.
Okay. The governor's election, the primary is less than a year away, October 24th of next year, 4 days short of a year. So in an ordinary circumstance, we'd be hot and heavy, perhaps even ads on the air for governor. When do you launch your media push as a candidate for governor?
Well, I don't know that I agree with you that we'd be seeing media already in a governor's race, but for this race taking place this year, I think it usually wouldn't crank up until the election year, and that's certainly what I'm planning to do. You won't be seeing any ads anytime soon in the governor's race for me.
Mm-hmm. Had a question from Todd here. He asked a question about this newfound money that has created a surplus, at least on paper, of for the state of Louisiana for the past year. Have you been following that story?
I have. It's a very complicated situation. I think there is on the books a deficit for this year. We changed the accounting system back in the early 2000s. I know there's been some discussion about whether this is a new type of accounting or what. When I was chairman of the Finance Committee, Jerry Luc LeBlanc was chairman of the House Appropriations Committee back in, I think it was, I don't remember exactly what year, or 02 maybe, it was the early 2000s. There was a change in the method of accounting because we just didn't feel like we were getting an accurate picture of how much exactly money was available. So my understanding is that there probably is a deficit for right now that's going to be able to be satisfied with some funds that have not been previously accounted for, as strange as that sounds. But in my talking to some of the financial people, that may very well be what the situation is. There was some money that was not expended by agencies in the past, and it was held over, but it was not actually appropriated by the legislature. It's just been sitting there. And so that may be the source, as it's one-time money, to satisfy whatever deficit may exist. But I know the number crunchers are still looking at this, and I think there's still some questions about it. I'm not as close to it as I was, but I do know that what I just described happened back in the last decade.
Will the next governor be left a mess?
Yes.
And you or one of the other candidates will have to clean it up. So why are so many people eager to get this job? It's not going to be easy, is it?
No, it's not going to be easy, and that's why it's important that I think that people make a wise choice of somebody who they feel is going to be a good steward of the money and has the experience to do so and to bring people together and address the problems that we're going to face, because there are going to be some serious issues, obviously, from a budgetary standpoint for the next governor. I think long-term things are looking much, much better with the jobs that are being created on the coast and the surge in the economy, but that's not alone going to address all the problems that we're going to have.
Now, the book festival, one more time, Jay Darden mentioned a number of the literary lights who will be here, but I have a reminder that Ernest Gaines, he returns again, and there is no writer more symbolic of Louisiana's greatness than Ernest James Gaines, so he will be front and center once again.
That's right, and it's always great to have him at the book festival. He's certainly one of my favorite Louisiana writers, with some classics that really describe Louisiana in a beautiful way. And we're also going to have the Louisiana Writers Award going to Darryl Bourque, who is a former poet laureate for Louisiana. The festival's dedicated to George Rodriguez. I know you know we haven't mentioned it. We lost George last year, and he just truly was a Louisiana icon and has always been a supporter of the book festival, of education in general and arts education in particular. And so the festival is dedicated to him, and we have a new partnership with Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, and their Cultural Vistas magazine that comes out quarterly is entirely devoted to the book festival this year, and it'll be available to patrons of the festival with the schedule contained in the actual edition.
Well, we thank you for joining us today, Governor Darden, and look forward to talking with you often in the coming year. And certainly,
you too, Jim.
Congrats on a great event coming this way this weekend. Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. And joining us for a few moments is Virginia Johnson. Virginia is intricately involved as a major player in a significant event coming our way tonight, as in this evening at 7:30 at the Baton Rouge River Center, the Dance Theater of Harlem. Good morning, Virginia.
Good morning, Jim. Great to talk to you.
Now, you're the former principal dancer, correct?
I am a former principal dancer. I'm actually a founding member, a former principal dancer, and now the artistic director of Dance Theater of Harlem.
Well, this is one of the great dance troupes in the world coming this way tonight, the 45th year for the Dance Theater of Harlem. What makes your group so special?
You know, it's really great for us to be back here in Baton Rouge. Dance Theater of Harlem is a ballet company that is about showing people what ballet can be. It's an art form that has a tremendous past, so we're doing a classical work. We are also a ballet company that of diverse ethnicity. The second piece on the program is about the Great Migration and the persistence of that important American movement in our lives today. And the last piece is just a lot of fun. It is a ballet composed to the music of Aretha Franklin and James Brown.
My goodness, and some of the best dancers in the world will be featured right here in our midst tonight. I know you travel the world, and certainly this area will be as appreciative as any. Never gets old for you, does it?
It doesn't. You know, Dance Theater of Harlem is about empowerment, about letting people know that given opportunity and access, anyone can fulfill their dreams. So it's an experience for an audience to see something that's incredibly beautiful, but also uplifting, that can actually change your mind about what this art form can be.
Well, it's tonight, 7:30, River Center, the Dance Theater of Harlem. And if you'd like more information, please call 225-767-5814, 225-767-5814. And We thank you for joining us, Virginia. Good luck tonight.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Back after this 90-second pause on WRKF with Mitch Landrieu. This is Jim Engster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633, your number, and outside the area it's 877-217-5757. And we're joined in studio by one of the most enthusiastic ambassadors for the state, the former Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana, former state representative, and current mayor of New Orleans, the Honorable Mitch Landrieu. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, nice to talk with you. And this is an election season. We've got an election week from today.
It seems like that's anything everybody's talking about.
Well, you've been down this road before, and I would imagine in many ways it's more pins and needles for you with somebody who's near and dear to you running than if you were the candidate yourself.
Well, not necessarily. You know, we've been through this a lot. It's campaigns are always tough. You know, people have talked about how this is a tough race. I can recall in every major race that we've had statewide for governor, for the United States Senate, whenever there are two or three worthy candidates running, it's always a neck and neck race. I mean, people can remember back in 1986 when John Brough and Henson Moore were running against each other until the last week. You know, it's neck and neck. That was the same when Bennett was running and all the other folks. So this one really is no different than those. They're always hard. They're always battles that are worth fighting, big issues that are worth arguing about, just as long as at the end of the day, Louisiana's moving forward in the right direction.
What do you make of the tenor of this year's campaign?
Well, it's first of all, in the broad scope of it, you know, it's always, midterm elections are always hard. They're hard because, you know, people really get after each other a lot. What concerns me the most about this election is the huge out-of-state money that's being pushed in by folks that are not from here. And that always makes it harder because they always miss what Louisiana is really about. And they try to impose on Louisiana the things that the rest of the country is thinking about. We're just different. Mm-hmm. You know, we're different people. We work better together than we do apart. And so I don't like seeing that kind of alienation that's being thrown, you know, during this race. But at the end of the day, the people in Louisiana know that we need to stick together so that we can get ahead together. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really, in some instances, what the race is about.
Now, you grew up on politics. I think you were 10 when your father was elected mayor. And it's been with you ever since.
Well, you know, that's funny. People ask about that with our family. You know, Louisiana has a history of families, not just in politics, but in food and in sports, if you're really thinking about it.
Sure.
You know, if you think about the Brennans in food, if you think about the Mannings in sport and music, if you think about the Marcelluses, or you think about all the folks, and the same thing is true in the family that we grew up in. There are nine of us in our family. Actually, Mary's the oldest of nine children, and between us, we have 37 grandchildren, so family is, you know, a big thing for us. And my mom and dad, and my brothers and sisters, those who are not in politics, we just kind of learned early on how to serve. And politics was the way that I chose to do it. And, of course, it's the way that Mary chose to do it. And she's been doing it for a long time, and she's really good at it.
Well, those unfamiliar with you, you went to Catholic schools, like, from start to finish.
Jesuit no question. Mary and I both went to St. Matthias Grammar School. She then went on to Ursuline Academy and then went to LSU. I went to Jesuit High School and then went on to Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., and came back and went to Loyola Law School. But, yeah, my mother, actually, before she married my father, was actually thinking about joining the convent. She actually spent a couple of years there. And so we've been a very big family, you know, a family of faith our entire lives, and we were trained and raised and educated that way.
Is it hurtful that your faith has been challenged because of political issues at times?
No, listen, everybody has ways of expressing their theories about life. But, you know, my entire family, all of my brothers and sisters, and we don't all think alike about everything, have always tried to be faithful and always tried to let our faith infuse the work that we do and drive a lot of the decisions that we make. Mary certainly has been a devout Christian her whole life and been someone who's been very, very committed to helping other folks. I mean, that's basically what she spends all of her time doing, working for people and making sure that people have better opportunities, better education, better health care, making sure that we as a nation are secure. And, you know, we're going to have arguments from time to time about what the best way to do that is. But I don't think anybody can question Mary's heart.
Well, there's no better stump speaker in Louisiana than Mayor Mitch Landrieu. And your degree from Catholic University was in theater.
Well, I had two degrees, actually. I had a degree in political science and in theater.
Well, that's perfect.
Right. It was a good match. And I did it before Ronald Reagan became president, by the way. My dream when I was a kid was to become a professional actor and a singer. I actually wanted to. That was my dream. And I play an instrument. I sing a little bit. I sang in the church, you know, at church. And as you get a little bit older, though, you got to eat. And I wanted to have a family and raise a family. And I went to law school and have been, you know, practicing law and engaging in public service since that time.
Did you like serving in the state legislature?
I did like it. I liked it a lot. You know, I was there for 16 years. And one of the things that I was able to do, as you know, I followed Mary into the legislature. She had been there. She got elected when she was 23. She was the youngest woman ever elected to the legislature and served 8 years there. I followed her there and was able to continue some of the work that she had done there. She then, when she was 28, ran and was elected state treasurer and served with distinction and was very independent-minded. People forget this, but Governor Edwards was the governor at the time, and she and Edwin got at it pretty good because she didn't think, you know, that he was doing the right thing all of the time. And I was able to serve with her, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. I served with a lot of folks that are still serving in office today. Mayor Kip Holden was a contemporary of mine. Mayor Randy Roach was a contemporary of mine. And Woody Jenkins was in the House.
I was going to mention him.
At the time. Woody and I did some work together. And Roy Braun and Raymond Jetson was in the legislature at the time, the pastor. And we got a lot of good things done and tried to move the state forward. At the time, you know, we didn't have this Republican-Democrat thing that was going on. We met all the time and talked. Tried to really work across the aisle. And, you know, that's what Mary did. And that's what she continues to do in Washington, D.C. Even though Congress is gridlocked, it doesn't mean that she hasn't been able to bridge the gap by working with folks on the other side of the aisle. And, you know, I learned from her, and she's been very successful in creating a value for the people of Louisiana based on her work and her seniority in Washington, D.C.
Now, John Breaux was quoted in the New York Times Sunday as saying two words describe this race: Obama bad.
I think that's it. I think President Clinton said it better the other day. For some, the National Republicans have gotten really challenged in their vocabulary. Obama bad. When you think about that, and think about that's all they think the race is about, it's almost like an accusation that the people of Louisiana can't think for themselves. A couple things. First of all, President Obama's already the president. He's already gotten reelected. He's in a second term, and he's going to be finished in the next 2 years. And so the supposition is that if you want to just take one more chance to vote against him, do it by voting against somebody that helps you a lot. Doesn't seem to be a very good theory to me, because the Senate race, as you know, is about a term of office that's for 6 years. And basically what the National Republicans are asking the people of Louisiana to do is throw out someone who, after 18 years, has reached a place where they can deliver huge benefits to the people of Louisiana. Mary, in the 18 years that she has delivered billions of dollars to help rebuild the coast, to make sure that the military installations are up and strong, whether it's Barksdale, Fort Polk, Minden, or Belchase. She's delivered millions of dollars for coastal restoration. Hurricane protection is something that we need a lot of. I really fear us having another storm and us not having a senator in place that's got the seniority to make sure that we're protected and to make sure that we get what it is that we need. Because I tell you what, Mary is a battler. And I can tell you, because I've been to Washington and I've walked the halls. When you see Mitch McConnell or you see Harry Reid or you see President Obama, any one of those guys, if you tell them Mary wants something, they say she's going to stay on you like a dog on a bone until you say yes. And she fights really, really hard for the people, and she's delivered a lot. This race is really not about President Obama as much as the other team wants to make it about him. Mm-hmm. He's going to be gone in 2 years, and we're still going to be standing. And the question is, for the people of Louisiana, who's going to help us build the economy? Who's going to help create jobs? Who's going to help protect health care? Who's going to help protect the coast? Who's going to help protect the veterans in the state of Louisiana? And Mary's got a great record. I mean, it's right there in black and white. And why in the world would we give up that seniority? We've never done it when Bennett was there, or John, or the other folks. And quite frankly, across partisan line, when Bob Livingston was about to ascend to the speakership of the House of Representatives, lots of Democrats in the state were smart enough to say, don't throw the guy out just because he's a Republican. This isn't about party politics. It's about making sure that Louisiana's first. And that's been our history. And I think Mary's filled that role very, very well.
Well, we haven't thrown out a sitting U.S. senator in an election since 1932. So that's been 82 years.
Well, but think about why, though. And because at the end of the day, when we get finished all our yelling and screaming, and we all go back to our corners and put our jerseys on, Louisiana has to be first. And I can tell you this, because I've witnessed it firsthand. Mary fought with President Clinton when he was not doing what she thought was right by Louisiana. She fought with President Bush when she didn't think he was doing right by Louisiana. And she's fought with President Obama in very aggressive ways. She's always for Louisiana first. That's the one thing. She wears that jersey all the time. She never takes it off.
What do you think of her principal challenger, Dr. Cassidy?
Well, I know Bill Cassidy. I served with him in the legislature. You know, he's a curious guy because he's a lot different as the candidate than he was when he was in the legislature. And I think he's wearing a jersey that he's not completely comfortable with. And, you know, all he wants to do is say Obama, and nobody gets to talk about him, which is interesting because if he wins, he's going to be our senator, so we might as well know a little bit about him. And some of the things that concern me about positions that he's taken is that he's wants to extend the retirement age to 70. He wants to change Social Security as we know it, wants to rip out Medicare and do it a different way, doesn't believe that we ought to fund health care for veterans the way we fund it now, voted against the Violence Against Women Act, which is something that Republicans and Democrats voted for, voted against the raising the minimum wage, isn't interested in extending Medicaid, you know, to the people of Louisiana. We have 230,000 people in the state that don't have health care, and the problem with that is the rest of us are paying an arm and a leg for it, when the fact of the matter is that the federal government's offered to pay for 100% of it and 90% over 3 years. And what's happening is our health care costs have gone up while the health care costs in Arkansas are going down because we're subsidizing their health care. So, you know, yeah,
he's in accord with just about every Republican in the state on that,
though. Well, let me say this. I think that if you poll it, I think the Republican governor certainly doesn't want to extend Medicaid. Governors across the country, Democrats and Republicans, have extended it because they know it's smart. And there are a lot of Republicans in this state that think that we ought to extend Medicaid to make sure that 230,000 people have health care and that our health care costs go down. A lot of folks think that. Now, everybody's busting up Mary because she voted for the Affordable Care Act. But if you ask Cassidy, well, what don't you like about it? He's going to give you a couple of things. But I tell you one thing he really likes about it is that now insurance companies can't drop you because you have a pre-existing condition. So if you have a parent that had a child with cancer when they were young, now the insurance companies have to cover them, and they can't risk that child's life by throwing them out. They like the portability of it, meaning that you're not in jail because of the job that you have. You can go from job to job and not worry about your health care security. Likes the fact that we can put our kids on our insurance up to the time that they're 26. So there are lots of good things about it. Now, it's not a perfect law, and as a matter of fact, it's got a lot of flaws. And so Senator Landrieu's position is, instead of throwing it out, you fix what's wrong. You see, this is a different philosophy of life. You hear this language from the National Republicans, I want to rip it up. I want to tear it up. It's all about destroying. It's all about tearing down. What about bringing people together and fixing things and making it better so that we can all go together at the same time? It's not a us versus them philosophy that the senator has pushed for years. And the other side, really being drummed up by these out-of-state interests, is trying to alienate folks down here based on race, based on party, based on gender, based on geography. What you really need to do, and this is something that Mary has done really well, is you reach across the aisle, you work with folks that are Republicans and Democrats, and you find what's best for Louisiana. Because listen, we're just different down here. We don't really march to the beat of the same drummer that other states do. And you got to have somebody that can actually kind of get down that middle aisle like Mary does and make both sides work together.
Donald in Mid-City, you're on with Mayor Landrieu. Hi, Donald.
Hello. I'm Mayor Landrieu. I'm a former resident of New Orleans, and it's a great city.
Thank you.
I want to ask you about the continuing extension of that wonderful convention center that you have down there. You hosted some really marvelous events, and you bring in thousands of conventioneers for a year.
What about the convention
center? Well, first of all, two things, I neglected to mention this earlier, and I thank you for reminding me about it. You know, everybody says to me very nicely that you're doing a great job in New Orleans. The city is really coming back. Not everybody's back the way we want, but we're doing great. I can't get that done without having a lot of help from Washington, D.C., whether it's the levees that are protecting the city, whether it's the floodgates, whether it's the amount of money we're getting for the roads or the amount of money we're using to rebuild our infrastructure, or indirectly the money that we're really building to create jobs. And one of the issues that the caller asked us about is whether or not we can continue to have the convention center grow as an economic engine. We have to completely rebuild the river in New Orleans and create what we call demand generators. And we're in the process of doing that right now. Now, the tourism industry is really important. But guess what? So is the oil and gas industry. So is the port. So is the movie industry. We've got to make sure that all of these industries work for the middle class and working class people. And we're going to continue to make sure that New Orleans is a great and open, welcome place, because we're an international city. We belong to the people of the state is what we do. And we work for everybody in the state. But I can't get my job done in the city of New Orleans without having a very, very strong partner in Washington, D.C. And that's what Mary has done. Billions of dollars that have come down as a result of the hurricane directed by Mary, who is, the, as you know, the chairman of the Subcommittee on Homeland Security as well. And I think a lot of folks don't really get this. They think, oh, she's the chairman of a committee. That's a nice honor. So let's send her back to the Senate because of that. No, no. The reason you do that is because the chairman of committee in Washington, D.C. has power. And power moves money. And money helps people grow jobs down on the local level. And when you have that, the one thing you don't want to give up, especially if you're a small state and you're a state that produces the oil and gas that we produce, you do not want to give up that chairmanship, because basically you're going to have somebody sitting on the back bench begging somebody to help, as opposed to having a chairman directing resources where we know they need to be.
Will you run for governor?
You know, people have asked me that. I don't have any intention to do that. I'm running my city right now. It's an important city. You obviously never say never in those circumstances, but my focus is on rebuilding the city of New Orleans right now. We have a very long way to go.
You like your job, don't you?
I love my job. I think my job is really important. But here's the thing. We're all one state. I've said this many, when I was lieutenant governor, I gave this speech so many times I was tired of hearing myself saying it, that we are not 64 parishes competing against each other. In other words, this is not about Baton Rouge versus New Orleans or Baton Rouge versus Shreveport or Lafayette or Minden. We are eight major geographical regions all working together, doing different things to compete against New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and in some instances, India and China and in Europe. And we have to think about ourselves. When Detroit, for example, was having difficulty, and people asked me about whether or not the federal government ought to help General Motors, I reminded people in Louisiana that we should be for them. And the reason we should be for them is because GM had a major plant in Shreveport. And they said to me, as mayor of New Orleans, why do you care about Shreveport? I said, because if Shreveport's not doing well, I'm not doing well. If Shreveport's losing 3,000 or 4,000 jobs, and they're not producing that revenue for the city, and people are losing jobs up there, and then Barksdale is challenged, all of that stuff trickles down and has a negative impact on the state budget, which then has a negative impact on New Orleans. And the same thing is true about, does New Orleans affect Shreveport? So we are one state, and we all have to make sure that we're working together for everybody in Louisiana.
297-5633 is your number outside the Baton Rouge calling area, 877-217-5757, and inkstershow@wrkf.org. We shall return with the former lieutenant governor and current mayor of the great city of New Orleans, Mitch Landry. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Our special guest to complete the hour is Mayor Mitch Landrieu, the Democratic mayor of New Orleans. His father held the position there in the great city of New Orleans from 1970 to 78. And his sister has been a U.S. Senator for 18 years and is trying to make it 24. And come 1 week from today, we as a state will be casting ballots in the U.S. Senate election. Some questions from listeners about the issues. Now, one of the major issues, if you will, has been the residence of your sister. Where does she live? You're laughing, but
I am. I think that's hysterical. I mean, I really do. This is so laughable that it's even hard to deal with. We have there. My mom and daddy and my family has always lived in the Senator in the city of New Orleans, and I just like it's easy. I mean, saying Mary doesn't live in Louisiana is like saying Mike the Tiger is not over at LSU. That's really just as simple as it is. The fact of the matter is that just legally, first of all, there is no residency requirement for a United States Senator. That doesn't exist. That's something that exists in state legislature, you know, parlance. Secondly, you have to lay your head somewhere at night when you're working. And the work in Washington, D.C. is so intense and takes so much time. When you have a husband and or a wife and when you have a family, you have to be someplace. And the fact of the matter is you can't be in two places at one time. All right. So every congressman, there are 435 of them, there are 100 senators. They sleep in Washington, D.C. when they're working there, and they sleep in their home districts and their home states when they're there. Mary Landrieu has walked more miles in the state of Louisiana and driven more miles than almost any other elected official that I know. And the fact of the matter is she is connected. She's always been connected. And she lives in the state of Louisiana. When she's in Washington, D.C., she lives there, and her kids at the time go to school. Actually, right now, Mary's daughter goes to school at Ursuline Academy in New Orleans and is living where she has always lived. And, that's a sad statement when you actually have to have that conversation about somebody like Mary. And the people of Louisiana know that.
All right. Do we have Congressman Cassidy? Frank, this is, of course, an issue that obviously the congressman believes has some sort of political cachet, and he has been pounding away at the senator on where she lives.
Of course, that's all been by political fact, or however you pronounce it, has been shown to be absurd. But I have to admit, when I hear maybe it's not true, Senator Landrieu criticizing me for having a home in Baton Rouge, I thought senators who represented a state always had homes in the state in which they represented. Scripture says, where your treasure is, so shall be your heart. If we're going to start criticizing homes, Senator Landrieu's manse in Washington, D.C. May show where her heart is. Thank you all very much. I have to join my wife.
Scripture also says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And, you know, for Cassidy to be talking about Mary not being around when he won't even show up for a debate, this is one thing that really gets me, you know, because I've been in this business a long time. One of the things that Mary Landrieu always does, she always shows up, she always stands up, she always fights, and she always delivers. And one of the things that Congressman Cassidy is doing, which is amazing to me, and I can't believe the people of Louisiana are going to let him get away with this, and I don't think they will, is basically saying, I don't even want to show up. I don't even want to show up and debate. I want it to be about Obama. I don't want it to be about me. I don't even want it to be about a Mary. And so he runs and he hides. And here's what the real concern that I have is, as the mayor of a major city that needs a warrior for him and for the city of New Orleans and for the state and Washington, D.C., if he won't even show up to debate Mary, how in the world is he going to fight a battle for us in Washington, D.C., when the other 100 senators, the other 99 senators and the other 435 legislators are trying to take money and go someplace else? The one thing that has helped Louisiana over the years is to have people that have been in Congress and in the Senate get into positions of power so they can deliver for the state. And Mary has done that amazingly. On coastal restoration, even though John Breaux and Bennett Johnson and a lot of folks worked, Mary was actually there, and it was her bill that allowed us to get 37.5% of revenue sharing that we used to keep in Washington. Now she brought that back home. That's going to help us rebuild that coast. The $14 billion for the levees, the millions and the billions of dollars that have been brought down to help places like Pennington Biomedical Research Park. You need seniority to get that done. And here's the thing. You need the courage to stand up and fight. And if Cassidy won't even show up at a debate because he's hiding behind the Koch brothers' skirts to debate, how in the world are we going to have confidence that he's going to stand up and fight for us, much less be able to deliver what the people of the state of Louisiana need? I'm very afraid of that. I think it's a bad idea to send a rookie to Washington, D.C., especially at this time when we're really to break out on issues that I've talked about, especially in the oil and gas industry.
Rick Causey asks a question for you, obviously related to your duties as mayor. How about a commuter train from Baton Rouge to New Orleans with connecting passes to buses and streetcars?
Here is a thank you for that question. It's a great point, and it's a broader point. Washington, D.C., bipartisan, has said, look, we've got to help build infrastructure in America, right? We need people to be more healthy, so we want to send down billions of dollars to help people get health care. Cassidy said no. Jindal said no. We want to connect poor people and working class people so that they can have the tools they need to participate in the economy by extending broadband. We'll send the money down for you to do it. We said no, we don't want to do that. Cassidy said no. We'll send some money down so you guys can build a high-speed train, you know, between and amongst your cities so that people can get to work faster. They said no. And so what happens is when you got folks who are working for us in Washington that are saying, listen, keep the money that you want to keep, our tax dollars, by the way, that we send up there, don't even send them back to us, that's the wrong way to do it. And so I'm very upset that we have not, as a state, accepted the money that the federal government wanted to send us so that we could create a high-speed train right between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, all light rail. And I think it would be wonderful if we can get that done. Now because we haven't accepted the money, now we've got to completely pay for it ourselves and have to find a way to create public-private partnerships to fill the gap that the federal government was going to fill. It would be great. Listen, across the entire southern part of this country, from Texas all the way through Louisiana to Mississippi to Florida, if we could connect this, the economic expansion and the creation of jobs would be exponential, especially between Baton Rouge and New Orleans.
297-5633. Still time to talk with Mayor Mitch Landrieu. David in Atlanta. Good morning, David. Listening at WRKF.org.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm totally blind, and I lived in New Orleans East when Katrina hit. My home had 8 feet of water in it. I lost all my possessions. I fought FEMA 6 years for rental assistance, had to retain two lawyers, and it was Senator Landrieu who helped me resolve my problems with FEMA. I got no help from any Republicans holding public office whatsoever, and I want to thank Senator Landrieu for thinking of a little blind person like me who went through hell in Katrina. And secondly, the $700 billion of Medicare cuts to the Advantage program that Senator Landrieu has been accused of for voting for, according to Cassidy and Mattis, is not true. There's an article in the Picayune saying those cuts are made up in subsidies in other programs like Obamacare and the prescription drug plan. So the Republicans are making up a false story and distorting the facts and accusing Senator Landrieu of something that is simply not true. And, Mr. Mayor, my name's David Bellinger. I was going to run to be mayor before Katrina.
All right. Would you?
Well, David, I might let you be the mayor. But listen, first of all, I'm sorry that you lost your home in New Orleans. And for anybody else out there who got hit, that was such an awful experience for us. And by the way, can I just thank the people of Baton Rouge for taking the people of New Orleans in and for the work that they did? I mean, you guys received us with open arms, and it was a really great blessing and a wonderful gift. He makes a couple of points that I want to highlight. First of all, we have 230,000 people in this state right now that could have access to health security and not be worried about whether or not one of their loved ones is going to get sick or going to die or going to have to lose their house. He makes an important point about that. Congressman Cassidy wants to end Social Security, basically, as you know it. He wants to extend the retirement date till 70. They want to take Medicare, as we know it, and redo it. They want to make sure that health care for veterans is financed in a different way than it's financed right now. And it's generally a philosophical difference. I mean, they want to help the folks that have. We want to help the folks that don't have and help them move into the middle class. And as he said, and I want to just highlight what he said, Mary is an 18-year senator, and he's a single constituent, right? And she helped him battle through the federal bureaucracy and get what it is that he needed. That's essentially what she spends all of her time doing. And she's very effective, and she delivers a lot for us, and she's in a position to keep doing it at a time, by the way, when the state of Louisiana is about to take off. Think about this. We have 30,000 jobs available in the oil and gas industry. That didn't happen by accident. You have a person that is going to be the chairman of the Senate Energy Committee. There is no more powerful, important committee in the Senate for Louisiana than that. And we actually have the chairmanship. And what we're actually thinking about doing right now, because people don't like President Obama, is for 2 years of being mad at President Obama, we're going to give up 6 years of being the head of the one chairmanship that can produce thousands of jobs, increase economic opportunity, increase educational opportunity and health care for the people of Louisiana at a time when the oil and gas industry is blowing and gone right now. That is just a bad bet. That doesn't make any sense whether you're Republican or a Democrat, whether you're conservative or liberal. It just doesn't make any sense.
All right. Here, a question from a listener. John asks about Congressman Cassidy's political epiphany. At one point, he supported Michael Dukakis. He supported Mary Landrieu, Kathleen Blanco. Somewhere along the way, in the last 12 years, he has had a change of heart. Why hasn't this been accented?
Well, okay. Obama, bad. Don't think about anything else. Obama, bad. Don't even ask me about me, Bill Cassidy, who I am. If people should start thinking about who he was, what they would find out was you can't really trust him because he's changed his opinion on so many things over time. He's unrecognizable from what he really was a couple of years ago. And as long as they can keep the election focused on Obama bad, be mean, be mad, be bad at Obama, then you don't really have to think about him. And if people just go Google, you know, where Congressman Cassidy was when he was a state legislator, you know, and when he was before he, as you said, had his epiphany, you know, it's hard. So the question then gets to be, well, who is the guy and can you really trust him? And what are we trading? So basically mm-hmm. when you at a used car shop, and you say, look, I got a car. I'm looking to give up another one, but I'm just not even going to look under the hood of the car, have anybody test it out. I would ask everybody to take a little test run on that track before mm-hmm. you say yes to it.
Is this a race on the, is a referendum on the Democratic Party? Mary's the last Democratic standing statewide. If she loses, what does that do to the party?
I don't think this has anything to do with party. Louisiana, in many ways, is personality driven. There have been trends across the country, and quite frankly, there's no use hiding from this. Midterm elections for incumbent parties are awful. They always have been. And guess what? 2 years from now, it's going to be really bad for the Republicans nationwide because it's going to actually flip. So one of the things that people in Louisiana mm-hmm. have been asked not to think about is the possibility that Senator Landrieu could lose and the Democrats retain the majority in the Senate. Then all of a sudden, we're way back. Another thing that could happen is Senator Landrieu can lose, right? And then all of a sudden, you have a flip 2 years from now, and the Democrats get it back. This is why the people in Louisiana have always been smart about saying, look, we're not playing that national political game. When the Republicans and McConnell and Reid are yelling against each other, we're going to bet on somebody that we know always wakes up, stands up, fights for us, and delivers. We've always done that. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get everybody in Louisiana's eye off that game. Obama, bad. Don't ask me about Cassidy. Don't tell me about the consequences. Don't think about the jobs that we're going to lose. Let's just go ahead and exercise our protest vote one more time against Obama and Obamacare, which the Republicans have voted against 38 times. Let's forget about Louisiana. But if you're thinking about Louisiana first, and the people of Louisiana and who fights for them and who delivers for them, it really is, in my opinion, a pretty easy choice.
Elaine on Bluebonnet. Hi, Elaine. You're on with Mayor Landrieu.
I love the Landrieus.
Hey, Elaine. I love you back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Obama's policy saved us from a Great Depression. He gets no credit for that. Europe is still in recession because they have followed the policies that the Republicans push.
All right. Well, what about the success? And there has been ample success on the economic front with President Obama in office. We're not hearing much about that either.
Well, that's it. She makes a very good point. Now, just think about this. Now, listen, no president is perfect. And I'll say this again. When Clinton was good for Louisiana, Mary was with him. When Bush was good for Louisiana, she was with him. And when Obama was, she was with him. One of the things that I find interesting is Bobby Jindal, who's my buddy, is running around the state talking about all the great jobs we've created together. 30,000 jobs. They're available right now. But all of a sudden, when it comes to Senator Landrieu, he says she's a bum, and she didn't have anything to do mm-hmm. with that. That's just completely wrong. And it happens to be in the oil and gas industry right now. You don't hear Bill Cassidy saying one thing about all the economic resurgence. The unemployment rate is lower. Gas prices are down. The number of jobs available are up. So what's wrong with this picture? So now our answer to that is throw the senior senator out who helped make all of this happen. And I just don't think the people of Louisiana are going to do that at the end of the day. I don't think that dog hunts.
What do you think of Governor Jindal's performance?
I tell you, I have, again, you know, I served as a lieutenant governor for Governor Blanco and for Governor Jindal. We, as you may have noticed, don't have public fights. This is a way. It's not a thing. It's a way. It's not that Bobby and I agree on everything. Quite frankly, we disagree on a lot of stuff. But we try to find common ground. I think Governor Jindal has tried to exert leadership in the state. I'm very disappointed, though, that he spent so much time focused on issues that are not related to the state of Louisiana that seem to further his understandable desire and ambition to be president of the United States. And I think that we have some positions that have been taken in Louisiana that are not good for the state that may help further that. And so I'm not completely happy about that. We have worked very well together on homeland security issues and making sure that when we've had public threats that we stand shoulder to shoulder. And we get along very well. I like him very much. He's always been very respectful to me. But he and I have philosophical differences about some issues that we like to talk about in a very constructive way.
And he has not endorsed in this race.
He has not endorsed in this race, which I find interesting, but, you know, I'll leave it to him. I think he knows, to be quite honest with you, how Washington really works. And everybody who's a sophisticated player knows that when you have a chairman of a major committee, right, you don't change it. Listen, it's just like my buddy Steve Scalise, who I was in the legislature with. Steve is now the number three guy in the House of Representatives. You're not going to see me opposing Steve Scalise for the House of Representatives. I'm just not going to do that right now. You know why? Because Louisiana is a small state, and the way we survive is to let our guys stay there for a while, gain power, gain leadership, and bring resources back home. We need that. It's really important, and it's important that Mary, who has always stood, always fought, always delivered, has a chance to go back to make sure that we put Louisiana first.
Is she going
to
win?
I think she is going to win.
Close?
Oh, absolutely close. No question about it. And again, just for everybody, today's the last day for early voting, so go vote
and I see
bring somebody with you.
Hillary Clinton's coming to.
She is. President Clinton was here last week. Hillary Clinton will be here on Saturday campaigning for Mary. Hillary Clinton is very popular in the state. She actually is more popular than the governor. And so we're looking forward to having her here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And who knows? She might be the next president.
She might. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.